So when it comes to security, zero trust is becoming the principle. Archman Samuel from the Azure IoT security team is here to tell us how it applies to the IoT realm. That's today on the IoT Show. Hi, everyone. This is the IoT Show. Thanks for joining us. I'm Olivier, your host. So today, I have Archman with me. Archman, how are you?
I'm good, Olivier. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So you're here to talk about zero trust IoT security. But before we jump into the topic, I know you already came on the show. You're one of our IoT security expert or resident experts within the Azure IoT team. But tell us a bit about yourself. What are you doing these days? I know that you are actually leading a new team within Azure IoT. What is that?
Yes. So as you know, right, IoT security is very important for us and for our customers. So we are we have a renewed focus on IoT security. And this is a team that we formed based on a lot of work we've already been doing. But the new work that we're doing is all focused towards IoT security.
Awesome. So why is IoT security that important, actually? Why is security, we know it's top of mind for Microsoft, for software in general, for cloud. What is IoT security, per se?
Yeah, so IoT security, first of all, why is it important? Many of our customers are getting into a place where they want to go into digital transformation. So they want to transform their businesses into new ones. But and they're using IoT as the core infrastructure and the core technology there. But the challenge there is when you bring in all these IoT devices, small and big, you connect everything together, you have an increased exposure and your risk is increasing substantially. So our customers are very concerned that we would want to manage that risk, and rightly so. So that is one of the reasons why IoT security is becoming more and more important. Interestingly, we did a survey. This is IoT Signals report. It's available, and I'm sure people can access it. We asked a question from our partners and customers, and the question really was, what is your top concern when you're doing IoT IoT deployments, IoT infrastructure deployments? And the top concern they came out was IoT security, that they feel that IoT risks, the security risks are pretty big, and they need to protect themselves from those. In the past, you know, few months, as Olivia, you know, we have had a lot of, you know, not necessarily us, Microsoft, but generally in the industry, there's a lot of news about IoT threats and attacks on infrastructure and so on. So that is also one of the concerns, and people do not want to get into a world where their infrastructure is attacked. And if I may add, our malicious users, the people, our adversaries, people who actually attack infrastructure, they're also getting very sophisticated. So all these things together have become important that we look at IoT security in a new way, and we look at it so that we solve it for our customers.
I see. And actually, you mentioned some samples, some examples. If people want to have some of them, Phil Naray came here from the Defender, Azure Defender for IoT team, and told us about some very interesting real life scenarios, and actually pretty scary ones. But let's not go into like some of these examples because there's plenty. But actually, let's talk more about this notion of zero trust. So what is zero trust, and why is it important again?
Yeah, so for a number of years now, we at Microsoft have been looking at IT security and enterprise security. And the one concept we have been using there is zero trust. And this is, of course, in the IT domain and the enterprise, you know, how do you protect the enterprises? And I brought in a few, a slide here just to illustrate the point. And we call these the zero trust principles. Right, and these are three, very simple, but they have a lot of depth within that. The first principle, of course, is verify explicitly. So whenever a user or a call is coming in for data or for any other information, you always want to verify where it is coming from. The location, the health of the device, the service where it is coming from, you authenticate that and so on. So that's important, and that's the first one. The next one is you want to control the privileges that you grant to anyone call, anyone user. You want to only provide the minimum privileges or access that is required for that business function and no more. And that is important so that you protect other resources from any malicious activity. And the third one is you always assume that your infrastructure would be breached, it will be attacked. And so in order to protect against that, you create mitigations, you create defense in depth, you monitor your infrastructure, you encrypt, end-to-end encryption is important, as well as at rest is important. So with these three principles, we have been successfully able to put in place a framework where you think about your enterprise, think about the workforce, and you can implement a zero trust infrastructure. Now, there are multiple resources that we provide at Microsoft to enable this. One, of course, is how do you do zero trust for your workforce, and then for your data, for your endpoints, for your network, and so on. So we have all these resources. There's a link here in case somebody's interested. Now, we do not stop here. Of course, this is important. This is your IT, this is your enterprise, but we have started thinking about it in terms of IoT. And what does it mean for IoT? What does zero trust mean for IoT?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was about to ask. So yeah. How is it specific for IoT? What is it that IoT solutions builder need to take into account? How do they apply these three principles?
Yeah. So first of all, everything that we have learned in the enterprise and the IoT space is all applicable to IoT, right? But IoT brings its own set of challenges, in its own way it is different. So let me quickly, Olivier, go over some of the differences that we know and we see in IoT. And here are a few, and I'll just explain just a few so that they're more clear. For one, IoT devices are userless. You know, we are so used to having a user with a password and user ID and maybe a multi-factor auth, but IoT devices, these small sensors, and even these gateway class devices and control systems, they do not have a user associated with them. So you can't protect through that route. They also many times run automated workloads. So these workloads are brought in from the cloud typically, and they're just deployed there, and they just run. They just run to collect data. They just run to run control systems. IoT devices and platforms are also very varied. You know, you have silicon from different places. You have operating systems all over the place. You have connectivity with all different networks and so on. And so there is so much variety, as well as some of the infrastructure is pretty old. We call those brownfield devices, and these old devices have their own set of challenges. For one, they were never designed for security. And so putting them all together, you know, is a challenge. Then IoT devices can be small. They can have, they don't have much capability many times. You know, they're very small MCU with some very, you know, purpose-built operating system on it. And so there's capabilities and connectivity might be very different. Then IoT devices can also have some very high value workloads they are running. I mean, think about it as business critical applications or even critical infrastructure, which is using these devices. And then finally, IoT devices are not inside a data center, cannot be protected by putting a wall around it or putting a guard out there. They could be deployed out there. They could be in a mall, a pole, on a light pole, and any attacker can get close to them, can even open those devices and put probes and start looking at data. So there is a lot of things which are different in IoT.
So you just mentioned a couple of interesting examples that people might wonder. So when we talk about smart pole in a street, you know, for smart lighting, when we talk about, Are the similar simple devices, what can happen if someone breached them, but besides just messing up with the lighting in the street? So what are the kind of scenarios that we need to bring up to people's attention so they realize how important it is to secure these devices?
Yeah, that's a great one, Olivia. So again, all the bad things we have known in the IT and the enterprise world, you know, with data breaches that we have heard, you know, all of those are still relevant, but more so. So as an example, some of the operational impact of breaches could bring down your assembly line as an example, could actually be your car, which is connected and is perhaps semi-autonomous or autonomous, could be brought down to very grave consequences, right? In injury to humans or worse. You could have people who depend on this infrastructure for your, you know, energy and for your water and so on to be used against them. So again, pretty bad. Then there is a whole world where regulations are now coming in for IoT and IoT security. Different countries and regions, and rightly so, are gearing up to regulate these industries and bring them to compliance. And of course, if a breach happens, you are not in compliance, or your regulations need to be reevaluated. So there's that as well. And then finally, when you have your business depending on IoT and IoT infrastructure, and bad things happen, there is an impact on your bottom line. You lose profit, you perhaps even lose customers, and all of that together is an impact which goes beyond what we are used to in the IT and the enterprise space.
Cool. I think, well, cool or not cool, I don't know. People are hopefully a bit scared here. So in this paper that you wrote with your team, I think you are talking about core capabilities for zero trust for IoT. So what are these core capabilities? And give us some insights into what developers especially need to think about when they are working on IoT solutions.
Yep, that's great. So of course, all this is, yeah, you're right. I mean, I could be scaring many people, but you know, it is a serious affair. But what we have done is we are now trying to see what we can do in terms of solutions or in terms of concepts and capabilities, which could mitigate all these bad things. And so what we did was we stepped back. We looked at what are the key capabilities that you need for your infrastructure, IoT infrastructure, to be zero trust enabled. And just reminding people, zero trust is, you know, those three things: you verify, you provide least privileges, and you assume breach. So just those three things are important to note here. Now, before I go any deeper, this is building on top of the work that we've already done. This is called the 7 properties of highly secure devices. The link is here. Now, that work is very specific to devices. You know, when you are creating your IoT devices, what are the things you need to think of? And there are 7 properties. It's from the device perspective. Of course, it requires the cloud and so on, but it's from the perspective of the device. But the capabilities that we came up goes across the infrastructure. It goes all the way to your cloud. It goes all the way to your device and everything in between. So I can go into each one of those 5 capabilities. And I think it's important to give some examples and talk about how zero trust relates to these capabilities.
Well, let's go through them. So the first one is strong identity, right? So that's funny, before you jump into that, because some years ago, we were talking with a friend of mine, Mike Hall, about the notion of identifying devices as a user, right? Because as you were saying earlier on, IoT devices are userless. But how do you identify them and then authorize them into a network or a solution? And so here we're talking about a strong identity, a unique identity for each and every devices out there, almost like we have this unique identity, which is the users. So tell me more about the strong identity for authenticating devices.
Exactly. Now, again, the difference here will start coming through, you know, the difference between protecting users and protecting devices. And you're right, for users, you create a user ID and then password and perhaps multi-factor auth and you're good to go. Yeah.
And a user has fingerprints and things that are very particular to them, right?
Exactly. And you can authenticate based on those properties of the user. But here is we are where we have a device and we need to identify that device uniquely. And also we need to do it at scale. So we're not talking about 10 devices. We perhaps are talking about millions of devices, right? So first of all devices need to have identity based in hardware. And so hardware-based root of trust, you know, these are technologies such as the TPM, which essentially allows you to protect identity, protect keys, really, and protect identities on the device with some level of guarantees that nobody can actually get to those keys. So hardware-based root of trust is your friend here, which allows you to allocate identities unique to each device. Now, how do you scale? You scale with certificates, so cert-based management of these identities capabilities allow you to scale. And so that's another way of saying that you need to have an infrastructure which allows you to do cert-based management, and in the cloud as well as on the device. And then, of course, once bad things happen or periodically, you need to go in and rotate those certs, rotate identities. In case one identity or one cert is compromised, you should be able to revoke it. So all those things allow you to have a strong identity which you can trust on the device.
Yeah. And once again, that's funny because that's pretty similar to humans at the end of the day. Yes, a different scale, but I was saying, you know, fingerprint would be that hardware root of trust, which is like something you cannot duplicate, just prop to that device. So the second one of these capabilities was least privileged access, right?
Right, exactly. So least privilege access, as I talked about it as a principle, tells you that you should only allow the right level of access and no more. And then, of course, which essentially means that you need to also think about what is the access control mechanisms you can put in place for your infrastructure, where devices are perhaps talking to each other. You know, a downstream device talks to a gateway, and then the gateway talks to the cloud. So what are the access control mechanisms you need to put in place? Assume that one day you might have your device, your gateway perhaps breached. So what are the mechanisms you put in place to protect against that? One way is to encrypt everything and keep those encryption keys separate from the infrastructure for identity, so that in case your identity is compromised, you have a place where you can get back to data and nobody else can get to that data. So these are some of the things which allow you to establish this least privilege access capability.
Okay. The next in the list was the device health. You need to keep a device healthy. So why is that?
Yeah. So as we know, right, devices, when they're born, meaning they're manufactured, they could be manufactured, let's say, 5 years or 3 years back. They've been sitting on a shelf, and now they end up in a factory where I'm deploying it. And if I do not update, or if I do not have a mechanism of updating the firmware, I'm going in as a three-year-old or a five-year-old firmware, just as an example, right? So what you need to do is you need to build into the device a capability that it can be updated and it can always be refreshed based on attestation. Now, this is a function of the device, but it is also a function of the cloud, where in the cloud, you need to monitor your fleet. Again, we're talking millions of devices here. You want to monitor your fleet, and you want to make sure that you have the capability to go in and refresh the software on a device or a set of devices if and when you want to, because a breach can happen and you might have to actually go in and update all of it. Then you want to attest regularly. You want to make sure that at all times you have a capability in the cloud for the device where you can go in and measure and say, yes, this is the firmware and the OS and the application, whatever is running on the device, which is current. I know it, I trust it, and I'm good to go. So those are the capabilities which allow you to have a healthy device. Without a healthy device, your IoT infrastructure does not work.
Okay. So healthy, always updated, these are key capabilities that you want to have in your system. You also mentioned security monitoring. So tell me more about how important it is and how you can monitor, you know, what's going on in your infrastructure, in your IoT infrastructure.
Right. So again, this goes back to our, you know, assume breach conversation. You always assume that you will always get bad actors trying to compromise your infrastructure, and which means you always need to be constantly monitoring. You need to be monitoring not just the device, but also the cloud infrastructure, the gateways. You need to monitor everything in between for a few things, for any bad actor trying to get into the device, trying to log into the device, trying to launch any processes that might be not required or not allowed on the device. And so that monitoring has to be done at scale. Now, one of the things we have constantly been talking about in IoT is the scale. Many of these things become more complex when we start talking about scale. So you need to have, in order to deal with scale in monitoring, you need to have some level of AI and ML, which can detect if bad things are happening and appropriately take care of it. So that is where security monitoring and response comes in.
Okay, awesome. So these are good principles, I would say, right? So with a set of capabilities you want to implement, you want to have or keep in mind when you're developing your IoT solution. Let's try, and can you help me make it a bit more concrete and actionable for developers, for builders out there?
Yeah, exactly. So again, now that we know what bad things can happen, now that we know what capabilities you need so that you can protect against those bad things, let's now get into what do you need to do as a developer, as a solution provider who's trying to put these solutions together. Here are three things that we came up with. And again, much more detail here, but I'll try to populate that. So the first thing is evaluation. And the evaluation of your IoT infrastructure as you are putting it together, as you're writing that app, as you're writing that runtime, is a constant thing you have to do. And we have some methodologies. I'll go into those details. You apply your zero trust, not just to the new infrastructure, but also to the old one. You have an infrastructure to which you are connecting these devices. What about that? Because if that is a weak infrastructure which has not been secured, you have a backdoor which can be utilized by malicious users. And finally, you select the right devices, the right services, so that you have a capability which is built on devices and services which are securable. Without that, nothing is good. Now, I talked about evaluation. So the first thing we would do is, what are the methodologies for evaluating your deployments? There are many out there. Many of them, you know, either look at the device, some look at your infrastructure, some look at services, then you do pen testing and so on. All that is good. And I would recommend, as much as we can invest, we should invest in those. We came up with a thing called the security maturity model. And this was a collaboration with Industrial Internet Consortium and a bunch of other partners across the industry. We came up with this model. So what this model does is, it allows you to, first of all, define a target. And this is based on levels. Level 1, 2, 3, 4. So you define a target, let's say for authentication, your target, and this is all based on IoT security, right? So for that device that you are bringing in, your target is, it should be based on a FIPS certified TPM and this level of crypto. And based on that, you evaluate your infrastructure, you evaluate all your devices. And then finally, you arrive at, okay, based on my evaluation, I'm short of the target. And then you know exactly what to invest in. And so it all depends on what targets you set up, and then what is your evaluation. And this model, the security maturity model, allows you to formally analyze and then reason through what are the different investments you have to make for that infrastructure to be secure the way you want to be.
Let's make it even more concrete, because here you're basically giving like the rule of thumb, like go do that and that to our developers. How can they not have to redo everything themselves? What are the services that we provide to make it easier for builders to build secure solutions?
Yep. So thank you, Olivier. So I like to divide this into these three parts, you know, the cloud, the edge, and the devices. And we have a lot of different products. And the ones that I show here is not a full list, but these are the important ones. These are what is the core backbone of your infrastructure, IoT infrastructure. And I'm going to talk very briefly about each. And of course, you can look, our audience can certainly go in and look at more details. So the first thing for the cloud, the core infrastructure you need is IoT Hub and Device Provisioning Service. So that gives you a very secure, a highly scalable infrastructure for communication as well as provisioning together these two services. We recently announced our Azure Device Update, which allows you to do over-the-air update of IoT devices, both small and big. And this allows you to keep your device constantly current. We have the Azure Defender for IoT, which essentially is a way to monitor your device. And the good thing here is Azure Defender for IoT can also monitor your aging infrastructure, your brownfield infrastructure. Imagine you have 20-year-old devices which were never designed for security, but they're using the network. You deploy this Defender agent, the appliance, on the network. It will do a network analysis and tell you what all is on the network and what bad things are happening on the network. So Defender for IoT is both on-prem as well as in the cloud. It can monitor all your data, all of your configuration of IoT Hub and DPS and so on, and it can give you what are the different loopholes or what are the different insecure things that are happening in your infrastructure. And then Azure Sentinel brings it all together. So this is where the security administrator would actually see all the different analytics and it's actually a visual. It's a beautiful visual environment where you can actually see what are the infrastructure look like, what does the infrastructure look like, and what are the bad things happening in there. And then you can actually run some playbooks and you can mitigate some of the threats. So that's just on the cloud side.
And what I like with Sentinel is that one pane of glass for IT that includes OT, the IoT world, with IT in general, right? So this is something that you don't have to have separate tools or separate environments. There's one place, one pane of glass for your security end to end.
Exactly. So this brings it all together from the cloud side, right? Then you go on to the edge. And of course, we have a bunch of different technologies for the edge. Azure IoT Edge, right from the beginning, I was very deeply involved with this technology. And we have invested quite a lot in security for IoT Edge. So when you are deploying a gateway class device with IoT Edge and workloads on it, you have a lot of levers in security, in terms of security to deal with here, and it brings you to a very good state. We have IoT device SDKs, which essentially allows you to build your own applications, which you put on devices. And again, it's built with IoT Hub, DPS, and device update, and so on, all of those integrated together. We have Azure RTOS, which is a real-time operating system. Again, it's built for scale. It's built for performance on the device as well. And then we have Azure IoT Enterprise with all its Windows ecosystem that you can think of, you know, security and manageability and so on, which brings it all together in one box. So that provides a lot of technologies that can be leveraged on the edge for security. And then we have a bunch of technologies we have for the actual devices. Now, Azure Sphere is our silicon plus the whole ecosystem, services and device together, where the ecosystem is totally integrated. You have an IoT as well as a security solution built in, all the way from silicon ground up. And we do all the attestation, we do all the cert management and all of it in one place. So that's a great way of creating a secure IoT infrastructure. We also have another model which uses Azure Sphere, but it's a Guardian model or Guardian framework, where essentially you have an old aging infrastructure, you have brownfield infrastructure, and you want to connect it to the cloud. You would simply put the Guardian as the place, as a node which goes out, because then the Guardian provides all the isolation for your aging infrastructure and the internet, and Azure Sphere is plays that role. Then we have Azure Precept, which is a solution for AI on IoT Edge or Edge devices, which is again built with a bunch of security technology on top of it. And then finally, we have the Edge Secure Core certification. Now, any device which goes through this certification, we make sure that it has the right device identity, it has secure boot, the operating system is hardened, and so on. Because then, once our customers start using a Secure Core certified device, they are assured with all of these capabilities. And again, as I said, this is not a full list, this is a partial list, but these are the key components that require our developers require to put together a solution, an IoT solution with zero trust built into it.
Awesome. You can take your breath now. Awesome.
Thank you.
That was great. Thanks a lot, Arjun, because we did have IoT Show episode on every single of these little pieces, and seeing them all together contributing to that notion of zero trust for IoT really, really makes sense and actually helps, I'm sure, developers, solution builders understand better what they have to do.
Right.
So if you want to learn more about all of that, Arjun, I think you put together a nice blog post that sends all the links and so on. So we have a link for you here, which is going to be aka.ms/IoTShow/ZeroTrustSecurity. And Arjun, you're very welcome to come back to the IoT show, maybe drill down on some of these aspects of a secure IoT infrastructure, right?
Of course. I think we should do more of this. There's a ton of work that we are doing already, and I'd love to talk about it in the future.
Well, you know where to find us. So,
of course.
Thanks for watching, Arjun. Thanks again. And welcome. I come back to the IoT show for more security topics and more IoT discussions.
Yeah. Bye. Thank you, Olivia.